Welcome back to the Jazz Joe Hall Show. Well, there's no doubt we have world-class mountain resorts right here in British Columbia. One only has to point to Whistler Blackcomb or Silver Star or Sun Peaks in the interior or Kicking Horse Mountain Resort in the Kootenays. There, of course, are local hills as well. But for every resort that has opened and succeeded, there are many more that have failed to move forward in BC. The obstacles are tremendous this day and age. Think environmental regulations, public consultations, and involving and consulting with Aboriginal communities and then raising significant financing. Well, one group thinks they have BC's next winner when it comes to mountain resorts. Bridal Veil Mountain Resort is the proposed all-season resort seeking to become the first in Canada to be co-owned and managed with First Nations. Situated on 11,000 acres near Chilliwack, the project would be located on the traditional lands of the Stolo people. And Jeff Wilson is the executive vice president with Bridal Veil Mountain Resort. He is currently speaking at a global conference for the mountain tourism industry in Paris, France. He joins us now. Jeff, thanks for speaking with us.
Well, thank you, Jazz.
So walk me through your project, of course, is the Bridal Veil Mountain Resort, but you happen to be in France at the moment. What are you doing there?
Yes. Well, a little while ago, we were actually invited to come to France to take part in what's called Mountain Planet, which is the number one mountain resort industry conference in the world, and it has over 900 vendors there conferencing, deals with pretty much everything in the industry. And so when we were invited, we were also asked to be part of a roundtable on innovation in the mountain resort industry. And so obviously we accepted. We were flattered to be asked to do that. And I gave a short presentation and we spoke with the panel about the trends in mountain resort industries and what our project is doing differently and how we're being innovative.
So in regards to the broad trends, what are you seeing in regards to the development of mountain resorts? Because there's tremendous, there's always going to be challenges in these this type of work from the environmental challenges. And everybody, I think, believes that everything has to be built and should be built in a way that is sensitive to the environment. You've got issues in and around Aboriginal rights, resources, and those things that all come up when these projects do come forward. What kind of trends are you seeing globally in regards to the development of mountain resorts?
Well, that's actually why we were asked to come, because of our unique position in the marketplace. One of the first things you mentioned, obviously, is environmental protection is key. We just did three resorts where we toured, and some of the resort operators there were demonstrating to us just how much snow had been removed from their glacier tops, and sometimes it was 60 feet in their period of time in operating that resort. So you're very right about that. Environmental protectionism is key to the industry and the survival of the industry and making it grow. The next thing is how to deal with indigenous rights in developing new projects and also moving forward with existing projects, expanding them, etc. So we've been able to speak with groups all the way from Chile who are dealing with issues, and they're asking us, saying, how are you working in Canada? Because Canada and New Zealand are known kind of across the world as kind of being ahead of the curve on dealing with reconciliation. And so it's been interesting to have those conversations and hear how other resorts and how other industries are dealing with the same kinds of things that are coming up.
Talk a little bit about the project that your organization is proposing, the Bridal Veil Mountain Resort. As a journalist, I've covered a lot of these projects that certainly start out where people want to get these things built, but it takes many years, sometimes for a variety of reasons, environmental, and it can be on Aboriginal issues, these things don't move forward. We've got many, many examples of that throughout British Columbia, but we also have, world-class resorts like Whistler that many years ago began under environment at that time. You got Silver Star, many of these other ones. Where's your project at right now, and walk us through some of the things that you're working through?
We are in what's called the expression of interest phase, which is the opening stages of dealing with this with the provincial government. And so what we've done is we've expressed our interest. We put in an application under that to the mountain resorts branch, and that's all they deal with is all-season mountain resorts. And we're at the point now where we've received feedback back from the mountain resorts branch. We're working very closely with them. You mentioned, too, that there have been a lot of applications made over the years, and there have been several large ones over the years that haven't made it all the way through the process. One of the biggest things that has been the downfall of some projects is their failure to work with local First Nations. And this is becoming something that it can't be avoided by industry. Industry has to take the responsibility and it has to enter into partnership and not just benefit agreements, but actually seek out partnership when you're building things. And so that's what we've done. Right out of the gate, the first thing we did was we approached the Stalo First Nations, which is 24 First Nations in the Fraser Valley area. And we said that we want to do this not alone, but we want to do this in partnership with you. And we feel that the economic, the social benefits, and the cultural benefits that can be brought to international users could make an incredible experience right here at home in the Fraser Valley.
In regards to the challenges, one of them is it takes a lot of time to do all of this. The environmental work, the consultation that is required with the communities, various communities, First Nations and non-First Nations communities. What is the timeline you're looking at right now?
It's a good question. I think that we're going to be looking at years. And that's the only thing we can even say at this point. And the consultation process is very rigid, or it's very thorough. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have those thorough processes, because local communities should have a say in what's going on in their backyards. First Nations must have a say. They're not just shareholders, but they're rights holders to the land. And so we have to address those issues at the start, and we have to work with communities and with First Nations in order to bring these ideas to fruition. We're confident at this point in the progress we're making and the interest that we're getting internationally that we're onto something big here. And it's something that could really put the Fraser Valley on the map and create a brand new destination resort that's really at the next level, in the sense of it's building for tomorrow when that comes to infrastructure, environmental protectionism, and of course, we're again working alongside First Nations in partnering to build something that is unique.
Jeff, for our listeners, give our listeners a description of what the mountain resort or that area looks like right now. What does Bridal Veil look like right now for someone like yourself?
Well, it's an area, so just outside of the city of Chilliwack, right at the end of the Fraser Valley, you look up and there's these beautiful cascading mountains. And what we're proposing is about 5 minutes off of the number one highway. You would pull off, you would park your car, you would go on a tourism gondola that would take you up and over to the top of the mountain. And then on the backside of that mountain, you have a wonderful bowl area that can sustain wonderful skiing, snowboarding, and other alpine activities such as mountain biking and hiking in the summer. So truly an all-season destination resort that has literally the best access of any resort property like this in not just British Columbia, but all of Canada.
Now, are there any other projects being proposed for that area? I understand there's a gondola project, which is a little different than your project, but to my understanding, there is another project being proposed as well?
Yes, there is another project. It's a singular sightseeing gondola. And it's an interesting roadside attraction. However, we feel that the area really deserves a core tourism experience. And so instead of just a sightseeing gondola, we would have two sightseeing gondolas that would take you up to an alpine village similar to a Whistler Village type experience, where you can do all the same sort of activities, enjoy wonderful alpine activities such as skiing and mountain biking, and supporting local business and really being an incredible driver in the local economy.
When it comes to size and scope, would this be closer to, let's say, a Silver Star then?
Yeah, this would be like a Big White kind of at this point in time. Our estimates are hosting about 1 million guests a year. One of the differences between us and some of these other resorts is because we're so close into the city. So for instance, Chilliwack has 93,000 people or so right in the community, you know, and then of course you have Abbotsford and Surrey all the way to Vancouver. Within about a 3-hour radius, we have almost 7.4 million people, which includes Seattle. And so the local access is much better. You don't need to take any treacherous mountain roads like you do in most cases. Mm-hmm. You can literally drive right off the highway and park your car and you're there.
Mm-hmm. I remember years ago, one of the founders of Whistler found this great location out by Lillooet for a big resort. And we're working with the Aboriginal communities there as well. I remember taking a chopper ride up to the top of the glacier and beautiful area. And certainly I could see a ski hill there if it ever got done, but it never got done. And there's a variety of reasons why these things don't get done. I mean, do you sometimes ask yourself, perhaps maybe this isn't the best course of action in regards to your time and energy? Because it is a bit of a gamble, a complete gamble. There's a lot of other resorts, so potential resorts you can think of in the Kootenays where they were pushing ski hills that didn't happen. What makes you confident that this one can get done?
Well, there's a number of reasons. First is the geographical location. Like I said, our president, Robert, he came back to Canada originally. He was working in the States and over in Europe because he found this property and he realized that really this was the best access point that he had seen for a resort property, and that we truly had something special given the amount of local people that live in a close vicinity to the project, and also the terrain itself. It could sustain a real amazing user experience. So the other issue would be the fact with the location again, is that instead of being in the East Kootenays or a place that you have to make a long drive to, the local audience, this would service them as well. So unlike a Whistler, you know, where you have to drive, or a Big White or one of these other large resorts where you have to get in the car and you have to go a long way, this could be an amazing experience for local traffic as well. So I think about my wife and I, if I want to go for a date, I can go to a restaurant downtown or in Abbotsford or in Chilliwack, or we could take a 9-minute gondola ride and we could be in a beautiful alpine village and do it there.
You raised this in the first segment a little bit. How much of an impact is climate change having on the ski industry and the mountain resort industry?
It's certainly an impact. You know, we noticed the degradation of glaciers was something that we saw twice over the last week in our trip here, and it's something that's the hot topic. We're confident in our numbers and in our studies that we've done so far that the kind of snowfall that is located where our proposed project is going to be enough to sustain this for a very, very long-term user experience. So we're not worried about the effects of climate change. Even radical numbers like a 2-degree increase in the climate, there would still be enough snow there to continue. And of course, with being a next generation resort, we have the ability to build it right and to make sure that we're at the best standards available.
My final question to you, you've talked about this being, you're in the phase of the expression of interest stage, I guess, in this particular proposal. So the early days, if everything were to work out, what's the timeline in regards to when you'd have this thing built?
Well, we can build this project unlike most others. And this is another reason why I think that we have a much better chance of success is we can build it in phases. The way that the resort is, that we foresee it, and the land that it's going to be on, is that 60% of the land will facilitate intermediate skiing, 20% would facilitate expert skiing, and 20% beginner skiing. And those aren't clustered in certain areas. It's actually quite evenly spread throughout the area of study that we have. Mm-hmm. And that's going to allow us to build it in phases. So, for instance, we could get our first phase up and running in a relatively short period of time, and it would actually be a self-sufficient ski resort in itself. And then, of course, if that works well, we can continue, we can build more.
And so,
I would say that...
That's a three or four-year period, then, is what we're looking at?
I think we're going to be 3 or 4 years dealing with the province and dealing with local First Nations. And that's just going to be the timeline that you have to engage in, mm-hmm. and that's okay. After that, I think that, you know, and I'm an eternal optimist, that's why I'm in this business, but I think that... you know, another couple of years, we could probably get phase one, which is our tourism gondola, on the go. And after that, we could then fill out the phases for alpine activity.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for your time. It's a very exciting project. Wish you all the best and enjoy your time in Paris.
Will do. Thank you so much, Jess.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.